Now, about the architecture of the way that the machines are placed in here, how they're hooked up, is there a pretty fixed plan? Like, is this particular switch or set of switches, is slot 30 sort of being logged somewhere and all this kind of stuff?
Yeah, we have some standards that we will set up. So, for instance, we might say, you know, this... And we'll literally get down to, like, intelligent power switches saying, okay, the access Ethernet switch is powered from port 1. So if we remotely turn off port 1, we know we're going to turn off the access Ethernet switch and so forth. We'll actually get down to, well, we want to try and keep some consistency so we know where things are. We actually have a set of magic numbers that we use within the network so that regardless of where you are in the show, as long as you know what rack you're in, you know what the address is. So we'll have, you know, we use the 45 class A network and we'll have 45.x.y.blah. And the blah might be the magic number. So for instance, UPSs might be .40. And then terminal servers might be .ped+1 and so forth. We've got all these little goofy little things, little rules that we've worked out over the years that seem to work well so that we don't have to have this gigantic piece of paper or something with all the addresses. We can just say, oh, what PED am I in? Oh, I know what PED I'm in, so I know exactly the address that I need to be using. So there is very definitely a grand scheme of things. How we hook them up in what order, what kind of equipment we use is all worked out in engineering meetings a couple months, well, several months before the show. And we start saying, okay, we need this, we need this, we need this. And we say, what's going to work? Now, there's some rules that we have to follow on how to configure things, different boundaries that work better and so forth, especially in addressing. But the way you hook things up, in our case, is more governed by the show venue than by the technology.
Yeah. Is this coming online right now? Or has this been hooked up to... a server of some kind? Or
actually, what they're doing right now is we actually run our configuration in what could be called a bursted star. So it's little groups of stars linked together. So we have an off-show floor star, and then we have an on-show floor star, and then we have management stars and so forth. So what we're doing here is we're actually using some temporary copper to just run back to the main NOC PED. NOC stands
for... Can we take a look at that?
Yeah. NOC stands for Network Operations Center. It is the control center of the entire network. So the plan is that we'll actually do some temporary connections so we can light things up, see if everything talks to each other. So what you're hearing now is all the fans. We've got lots and lots of gear. We've got routers that bring in our connection from the outside world. We've got some taps. We've got lots of firewalls. The idea is not so much that we're trying to limit what the vendors can do, so much as protect the outside world from us and then us from a lot of the attacks. One of the issues about having such a famous network number, 45.0.0.0/8, is that the second we turn it on, we have this background traffic of just automated bots and crud that's going out there and trying to hit the 45 network. So we have to actually slam those filters in place before we start advertising our network.
So there's people crawling right now for this network.
Oh, yeah, very definitely. When you have a network as famous as the 45, there's always people trying to embarrass us, so to speak. You know, there's many, many, many people out there that think they're so much better than this group, and they want to prove it by hacking our network. Well, yeah, maybe they might get in, but they won't stay in for very long.
Is this the basic architecture here of the racks? And
well, what you're seeing literally is we start from the top and move our way down. We run a redundant, what we call a redundant core. So we actually have two interfaces coming in. They're cross-connected into our Juniper M7i routers. Those then proceed through the GigaView MP, which is allowing us to take all the different types of traffic and apply filters so that we can send just the VoIP traffic to the VoIP test tools, just the video traffic to the video test tools, and so forth. So that instead of having to monitor this gigantic pipe, the test tools only have to monitor what they're responsible for. Then they'll hit firewalls, and then eventually drop down into the core routers, which in this case are Black Diamond 12804s. The Junipers do a great job. They run at full gigabit line, well, not full gigabit line speed, but nearly so. It'll give us the opportunity to apply both inbound and outbound filters to both protect ourselves from the outside and also to protect the outside world from something that might come up on our network.
What's he doing right now?
Let's see, what is he plugged into? He is plugged into one of the Extreme Black Diamonds. So what he's probably doing is applying some, either patches or configurations so that we can light up interfaces. So in this case, he might be lighting up a fiber optic interface that will connect it to the Juniper firewalls, or he might be lighting up some of the copper that's leading out temporarily onto the show floor so that we can make sure the other switches that might end up in off show floor classroom X is actually talking to us. Because literally what we're trying to do is we try to do a complete simulation of the network right down to running synthetic traffic patterns over it to test everything out. We'll actually go as far as making sure every last single bit is configured, tested, we know it's working, we know it's passing traffic, we'll run test patterns across it, then we'll actually go and yank the circuit breakers on the warehouse and shut off the lights. We'll actually do a complete lights out test to make sure that even the power is running. So one of the things that's different for this year is that we've actually gone to a heat containment system from American Power Conversions, which you can kind of see here. The concept is, instead of having all the heat just venting and maybe the hot air from one set of racks gets sucked into the input of another set of racks, these racks are arranged so that the cool air comes from the front and goes into the center. And the center is where all the hot, you know, vents all the hot air, and then we'll go and shove it out and get it out of there. So we're managing our air flows so that we don't cross-contaminate cold air with hot air, and it gives us more control over things like particulate matter. It gives us more control. We can actually measure airflow so that we know when we need to kick it into high gear and so forth, or let it do it automatically. We're actually using a thing called an ISX manager, infrastructure manager, from APC, that gives us the ability to set automatic thresholds. If this temperature and this humidity happens, kick in the chill water. If this temperature and this humidity start happening, kick in the humidifiers. Because computers really and truly like to run in a fairly narrow band of environmentals. APC gives us the ability to test for it. Is the equipment hot? Is it cold? Is it too dry? Is it too wet? And so forth and so on. So that we can, one, know that something's happening, two, do something about it, even if we're in our hotel room sleeping.
Now, right now, you're putting together the brain of the network.
That is correct.
How many pieces of gear, though, once you've got this set up, are you going to add to this network? Like, how much is going to be talking back and forth?
Well, we're at a relatively early stage in the game. We're basically bringing up the base of the network, the cross-connects, so to speak, the gigabit Ethernet, the 10-gig Ethernet, and so forth. On top of that, we now then start layering in services. So we're going to have storage services from IBM. We're going to have test and measurement services from Spirent. We're going to have wireless from Aruba. We're going to have voice from Avaya. We're going to have video from Tandberg. Those folks know that at this time in the game, the network's not quite ready for them. So they're actually not showing up till a little later this week. Once they show up, they're expecting that the base, the foundation of the network will be built so we can start plugging their gear in and start layering services, voice, video, and data. Spirent likes to call it triple play. So it might get down to little things like, if you look over there, that little tower of cameras. One of our team members is Robert Ballister. He's actually a Jesuit priest, and he's responsible for our video. He's actually playing around with a whole bunch of video cameras that came from both my laboratory and from various manufacturers. And we're actually going to be layering security services so that we can do motion detect in certain areas that maybe someone's not supposed to be in. And it'll send alerts back to us when it detects motion and start taking pictures. That way we have a chance. In one show, we actually had, shall we say, a unscrupulous set of security guards that went in and cleaned out all our laptops. We would like very much for that not to happen again. So we're taking a lot of efforts to secure our environment.
In the end, though, how many pieces of equipment do you envision going into the network? Are we talking about more than 1,000 pieces?
Well, if we ignore the cable, just for now.
And in some ways, cable is equipment, isn't it?
Cable is very definitely equipment. We've actually got Systemax coming in and bringing in some very fast disconnect fiber optics to try and, you know, anticipate changes in network. So let's take a wild guess. I'm going to take a wild guess that maybe we're looking at a couple million pieces when you start getting through with it. It might be like even in these black diamond switches. Each one of these little ports is going to get a little insert called an SFP, a small form factor interface. Some people call it a mini GBIC. We're going to be filling those up. We're going to be burning up a couple hundred SFPs just in the NOC, and then more SFPs and all the different PEDs.
So a million pieces of gear.
Relatively comfortable. We might have, you know, we have power cable, we've got network cables, we have cross connects. We've got fiber taps. We've got.
Are you counting each individual piece of cable as a?
Yeah, if we count each one, maybe no. Now, if we count just
let's take
a
the
class,
cable out. Let's just take the cable out.
Well, let's talk. You know,
how about just rack-mounted pieces of equipment added on to this central network that you're setting up now?
I'd say just rack-mounted pieces. We're probably going to end up maybe in the range of maybe 150 to 200. Different pieces. There's going to be some definite duplication. You know, each rack is going to have a Extreme Network Summit 300 or Summit 400. We'll call that a main switch. But they're still switches. They still have quite a bit of value. And, you know, I guess the easier way to quantify this is we're probably looking at about maybe $20-25 million worth of gear when we get through. And no one corporation would ever do this in one fell swoop. You know, you might call that a forklift upgrade. But what's nice is a corporation buyer or an analyst or someone can come in and find portions of their network. Oh, I use that. And they can ask our engineers. You know, the engineers are very, very approachable. And they say, you know, have you got any experience with brand X and Model Y? And 9 times out of 10, someone's going to say, no, not me, but maybe that guy over there. And the person then will come up and we'll talk to you. And, you know, I'll be more than happy to go and explain what I'm using in my lab or my infrastructure. And I think that's a very common trait. These engineers are here to share their experience with each other, to share the ability to test their gear. Because when it's all done at the end of the day, part of the justification that all these people had to use for coming out is how well is my gear going to work in this gigantic enterprise? Because literally, this is an enterprise on wheels.